Good morning, church. Good to be with all of you. Thank you, by the way. Praise the Lord this morning. And for what it says up there, for all you do, thank you. That goes back to all of you. I hope you know that. I really appreciate all of you. Being able to be your pastor, it means a lot. And I thank you for it. I don't mean to get emotional about it, but I really do thank each and every one. Appreciate it. Greg, thank you for the kind words, but oh, no. No, I'm not that great. I'm not that good, and I know that. But one thing I've learned, Michelle, is if God can make a donkey talk, there's hope for your pastor this morning. Amen. And he can do that. I thank him for that this morning. Now, I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to be over in Genesis this morning. I'm going to be in the seventh chapter. If you want to turn there, well, I'm going to read the scripture here in a little bit. But I want you to know something. I want you to know this. If you want to see Jesus all through the Bible, you can see Jesus all through the Bible. And something the Lord has dealt with me a little bit, and I want to try to get it out there if I can, and is, you know what? I'm going to read the story to you this morning of the ark. And I want to show you Jesus in the story of the ark. I want you to look at this because, you know, this morning I want to talk about Jesus, but I also want to talk about the ark. I want to talk about the ark. But I also want to talk about Jesus this morning. And if the Lord allows me this morning, I want to give you as Noah's Ark as a picture of Christ. And I you know, it's nothing new. It's nothing spectacular. It's been preached about for years. But maybe it's something God has showed me that maybe, you know what, maybe you can pull something out of this. If you would, I'm going to read Genesis 7, verses 15 and 16. And when you get there, if you're able this morning, please stand. Let's read in honor of God's word this morning. And they went in to Noah and to the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in male and female, all flesh, as God had commanded him. And then what happened? Say it with me. Lord, shut him in. Listen, God shut the door. Noah did not shut the door. It says God shut it. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, Lord, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've blessed us with, all that you've given, Lord. I want to thank you for that. Lord, I ask you, Father, to be with the service this morning. Be with the rest of it, Lord. I ask you, Father, that, Lord, that you know that the word would go out the way that you would have it, Lord. And the Father, that, Lord, you know that the hearts would be open to it. Lord, anoint my lips this morning, Father. I need the anointing, Father. Nothing can be done without that. And Jesus will give you the praise and the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to go across some points here this morning. I'm going to be over in the book of Genesis a lot. I'll go to different verses. Just follow along. If you want to write them down, you can. That's fine. But the first thing I want you to know is the ark and our Savior both were made by divine provision devised by God. Both of them. Before doom fell on wicked men, before doom fell on them, aren't you glad this morning in God's mercy? Can I have an amen? Aren't you glad this morning of God's love? Because, you know, I'm thankful, Mary, today that God had mercy on me one day. I'm thankful one day that He loved me. Amen. I am thankful for that. He devised a way of escape for every one of us. Now, this is important for everyone wanting to escape judgment to come. God said, I am sending a flood upon the world, and at the same time, I'm building an ark. And that's what He said He was going to do, right? In Genesis 6, 13 and 14, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them from with the earth, and make thee an ark of gopher wood. God said, I'm sending destruction upon this earth, but I'm also sending a way of salvation for you. He said that back then. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave who? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Praise God this morning. When the ark was built, it was a way to get them out of destruction. Praise God, he sent his Son to this earth as a way for you and I this morning to get out of the destruction that is to come. Amen. Aren't you glad that the day man fell into sin, God provided a lamb? Aren't you glad for that this morning? I'm glad. Aren't you glad that God had made a way for everyone who wants it to be saved? He made a way. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? You shall be saved. I'm telling you here this morning, I don't know where you stand. I don't know what you're doing this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I'm telling you, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what he says. Aren't you glad this way of salvation is not kept secret? Amen? But God did not send Noah out to Area 51 to build an ark. He didn't make the ark some top secret thing. He was not covered with tarps. Whenever he had him build the ark was in plain view as he built the ark. And so everyone who wanted to escape could see that ark, that way of salvation, was being built. Noah preached to the people. It said in 2 Peter 2:5, and it spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Can I take a little bit of liberty this morning with the scripture? I believe Noah preached while he was building the ark. I believe he let people know that, you know what, God has told me to build this ark, and the only way that you could ever have any hope is if you get on this ark. Can I tell you this morning, Sue? Can I tell you this morning? That the only hope for anybody in this church this morning was made by Jesus Christ. The only hope. He made an ark one day, that the only way that anybody could be saved was through it. And Jesus went to that cross, that the only way for salvation for anybody is to accept him as their Savior. Aren't you glad? Jesus isn't just revealed to some, to a few this morning. Aren't you glad that God put the way of salvation out there for every living soul to hear and to see? Just like when that ark was being built, I'm telling you this morning, God has made a way for everybody that could hear the way of the gospel. They'll hear it. They'll hear it. So everybody who wants to find can find. Anybody who wants to have it can have it. Praise God this morning. The ark wasn't a secret thing, and neither is the gospel message today. It's not secret. Listen, we are supposed to spread the gospel. Listen, the gospel's on the radio. It's out there on television. It's everywhere. It's not kept secret. And listen, the Bible tells us that the ark was made of gopher wood. This is important. God had them build the ark from something that was living in the ground, that had grown up, and that was cut down, and he had them build that ark. Noah had to go to the forest. He had to cut down those trees. He had to bring them back, and he had to nail it in place and build the ark. And then and only then would there be a way of salvation for the people back into the flood. What's amazing was that the ark was built out of gopher, and the gopher wood tree grew out of the ground. Is that right? That's what happened. Now listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 53:2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. Our salvation was made by a man who grew as a tender plant. And guess what? He was cut down one day. Why? So you and I could have salvation one day. Just like those trees were cut down to make that ark one day. Can you see Jesus in everything? I am thankful God revealed this to me. Because brothers, I'm telling you, without Him revealing stuff, I have nothing other than the Spirit of God to show us what's going on. He was cut down. Our salvation was made. Who was cut down in death. And He was nailed to an old rugged cross. And a way of salvation for you and me. The life of Jesus. Now I want you to listen to this first. The life of Jesus didn't save us. The good deeds of Jesus didn't save us. The teachings of Jesus didn't save us. The one that grew up like a tender plant one day was cut down and nailed to the cross. That is what saves us this morning. That's what saves us. What a picture we get. Well, isn't it awesome to know? Just like those trees were cut down and nailed to that ark, to make that ark, Jesus was nailed to this cross to make a way for you and I. Now, God told Noah to build the ark to a certain size, did He not? We can read that in Genesis chapter 6. And when it was done, it didn't look like a cruise ship. How many of you have ever been down and seen the ark down in Kentucky? I mean, it's huge, it's fantastic, but it doesn't look like no cruise ship. Now, the way that God had Him to build it, it was huge, it wasn't pretty, it doesn't compare with some of the great ships of today. The ark wasn't pretty. It wasn't made to be on the front of a boating magazine, was it? It wasn't made that everybody would want one of them. It wasn't made that way. It wasn't made to be looked at or admired. It was made to do a job. In Genesis 16:19, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive, that they shall be made male and female. Brothers, the ark was made to save the people's lives in that day. Now, the Bible says this about Jesus in Isaiah 53, 2 and 3. And He shall grow up before them a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. When He shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. Can I tell you something this morning? Before you were saved, He didn't have beauty. He didn't have beauty to you. He didn't have all this stuff to you. People didn't desire Him at the time, whenever, before we were saved. But after we got saved, isn't He lovely to you now? Isn't He something to you now? But you know what? Just like that ark, people in the world today don't see it. They see that ark may have looked ugly back in the day, but I'm telling you, Jesus looks ugly to a lot of people in the world today. But brothers and sisters, that is the way of salvation right there. That is the way that he wants us to. Why? He wasn't made. You know, Jesus wasn't made to be looked at. He, you know what? He wasn't made to make a statue out of, to have pictures drawn of Him. He wasn't made to have catchy slogans made out of Him. But can I tell you this morning, Jesus, like Noah's Ark, was not physically attractive, but He was just what we needed. Can I have an amen? Amen. And listen, in John 6:68 and 69, then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's Him. And listen, the ark was the only way to escape. There was no other way back then. There was only one door on that ark. You know, did you find any? Now think about this. God could have sent down a chariot and got them, all eight of them. He didn't have to have Noah build that ark. God could have just taken them up like He did Enoch. He could have had them do that. But God had them to make an ark. Or God, listen, there's only one ordained way, the ark, that was going to bring salvation to them back then. Did you all see that? I know you've all read about the floods that took place down in North Carolina here just recently. There was a woman down there. I wanted to write her name down. Her name was Emily Russell. And Emily Russell floated. She was pregnant. Floated on a mattress in her house with a dog for 8 hours until help came. She grabbed a hold of anything that she could grab a hold of. Can I tell you something I believe? Whenever the rains come and the earth opened up and God sent the flood upon the earth, Patty, I believe there were people grabbing for anything that they could grab a hold of. I believe there were people trying to climb trees as high as they could climb. I believe that there were people trying to do anything that they could do to get a hold of salvation. But I'm telling you, there was only one way, and that was the ark. Can I tell you something today, Larry? There are people today trying to grab a hold of everything else except Jesus Christ today. There are people today that are trying to grab a hold of religion today. But can I tell you something? Religion will not save you. Can I tell you, there are people today that have all manner of things. But I'm telling you, what the brothers and sisters, we cannot. There's only one way from hope. Do you listen? I can't imagine. Can't imagine. Yet not one single person on the earth survived. Only those who got into the ark. That's it. That wasn't any other way to survive. Let me tell you something. When things get tough, when people get fearful, when death comes knocking at your door, can I tell you something? I've seen it. I know. Listen, they'll grab for just about anything. They'll grab for some grab onto religion. Some grab onto works. Some grab onto baptismal certificates. Some will grab onto the times that they give money at church. Alita, they grab onto anything. Listen, you go to read obituaries, there's people sometimes that have their names on church names that don't even attend a church. They try to grab onto anything. But can I tell you something today? You got to grab a hold of Jesus. You got to grab a hold of Him. You got to grab a hold of Him. They may have tried to do whatever they could back then. Listen, and I'm also only, I'm thankful this morning. There's only, on that ark, is it kind of curious? There was only one door. There was no back door. There was no way to put stuff down into the ark. There was no passenger door, but there was only one door. And Genesis says this, that a great big ark, but it only had one door. 6:16, a window thou shalt make to the ark, and in cubits, and thou shalt finish it above. The door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, the lower, the second, and the third stories that thou shalt make it. There was only one door. Isn't it kind of curious, Ken, that he didn't put a size on the door? Huh? Isn't that kind of curious to everyone? Because that was a big old ark and it only had one door. This is a big old salvation and it's got a big door on. Doesn't that seem curious to you? It's a big old, God didn't specify how big to make that door. He said, you just put a door on it, that's what he said. I'm telling you, a big old, you might live by religion, but you better not die with religion. I'm here to tell you, Acts 4:11-12. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby ye must be saved. Such your beliefs might be good. Your beliefs might be good, but brother, when the floods come, it ain't going to be your beliefs that gets it. It's going to be what you believe in. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When the rain stopped, there was only 8 people saved on that ark. And they went through that door. When eternity dawns, the only people that'll be saved will be those who accepted Jesus as their Savior. Anyone else will realize that was not a good idea not to accept Him. Listen, now look at God's invitation. I want to look at this. In Genesis 7:1, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Did you know that? God laid an invitation out there. You see that? He told Noah and them. Noah and them didn't go in there by themselves. He told them, this is what it says, And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark. It wasn't until he told them to come into it that they went in. He said, and then I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. Aren't you glad that even though Noah and his family did the work, ultimately the invitation came from God? Amen? Had Noah said to his family, come on, let's go on board, without the invitation, I don't believe they'd have made her, folks. I don't believe they'd have made her. God said he brought the invitation. You see, God had to invite all of them into the ark, or all of them would have drowned. Aren't you glad that God said, come on, Noah? And God said unto Noah's wife, come on, Noah's wife. And he said to his sons, come on in. And he said to the animals, come on in. None of them had to go in. None of them had to accept the invitation. They were free to choose. But brothers and sisters, they chose to go into the ark. Can I tell you something here this morning? Every one of you are free to choose. You are free to choose. And I'm telling you, you have the choice. You have the choice this morning. I don't know where your heart's at. I don't know where you're at this morning. But you have the choice. You are a free moral agent. And I'm here to tell you this morning that choice lies upon you. I can't come back here and grab you and drag you to this altar. I can't drag you into heaven, Patty. I can't do it. I'm going to have a hard enough time getting Dave there sometimes. But I'm telling you, it's up to you this morning. It's up to you. You're the one that has to choose. But you know what? The invitation is out there. In Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If any man come, if any man hear my voice and open the door. Do you understand that the doorknob is not on Jesus' side? He stands there and knock. The doorknob is on your side. You have to open it. You have to open it up. And you have to let him in. He can't. He won't force his way in there. He won't do it. Listen, Isaiah 55:1 says this. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Are you thirsty this morning for salvation? Are you hungry for salvation? He says, anybody that's thirsty, anybody that's hungry, you can come this morning. Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation's out there. It's out there. It's been out there. And in John 6:44, no man come to me except the Father has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Can I tell you this morning, if the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart this morning, today's a day of salvation. Don't put him off. Don't put him off. Not one more day. God is still laying out an invitation, but just like with the ark, just like with the ark, it's up to every individual. Matthew 16:24-25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, you got to come after him. You get that? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You got to come unto him. I talked about the door a little bit ago, but you have to ever wonder. And like I said, the size of the door was no size on it. It's whosoever will. Just God said to make a door. That's what he said. Make a door. Anything or anybody could get on the boat. Jesus said the door. He said, whosoever. God doesn't put any restrictions on anyone who wants salvation. I've never seen anywhere in that Bible where he said you had to be a certain color. You had to be a certain this, a certain that, a certain what, a certain nationality. He didn't put any restrictions on that. Sometimes we get to the point in our own little world, we think, well, it's just us. It's not. It's whosoever will. Anybody can come. Anybody can have salvation. Anybody can come to know. That door's big, Alita. It's big. And it's open to all of us. It's open to everyone that wants to grab a hold of the salvation. And God told Noah in verse 14, something else that I like. He said, rooms thou shalt make in the ark. He didn't specify how many rooms. Did you notice that? Because you know why I think he did that? Because I was thinking he was hoping he could get a bunch more to get on that ark. That's what I hope. That's what I was hoping he would do. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And I go to prepare a place for you. Brothers and sisters, there's many rooms. There's many mansions. And he's just waiting for you to accept him. And he said he'll go to prepare a place for you. There's many rooms. It's not specific, am I right? It's not laid out there how many there is. Brother, I believe he's saying it. And Noah, listen, the exact number of animals was given, right? The exact number of doors was one. The exact number of windows was one. Exact numbers of decks was three, and I'll get to them in a little bit. And I believe there was no predetermined number of people. It was wide open. What did Jesus say? And I'll read it to you. Like I tried to read it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, ye may be also. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome words? Isn't that great scripture? But folks, I truly believed, just like it was in the day of Noah, and the invitation's out there, but I believe many people are going to turn it down. It's out there for everyone. There are people that mock God today. They mock him. No matter if you go out and try to witness to people, there are people that'll mock him. They're not mocking you, by the way. Don't think that for a minute. They may say stuff against you, but they're mocking God. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. It's broad. And many there be that go in. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The longer I go in this life, the longer that I've preached, the more that I've tried to witness and testify to people in this life, I've come to realize that scripture is more and more true. Because a lot of people don't want to hear the word of salvation. They don't want to hear the word of God. And it says broad is that way. They're heading down that broad way and they do not know it. They absolutely do not know it. But there's few that find the way of salvation. Very few. Brothers and sisters, how many churches are around this area? There's a bunch, right? They should all be full this morning. Not because I want numbers in this church, but because people in these pews represent souls. Amen. The invitation didn't come from Noah. It came from God himself. There were three decks in the ark. A window thou shalt make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with the lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. It had three levels. God could have put five or six in it, right? Why did he put three in it? You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't think any of this stuff out there is done by coincidence. Don't think so whatsoever. I believe the ark represent is a picture of Christ. And I believe this is what is trying. I believe there's three decks in that thing. And I believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And listen, it says it is a picture of God, the Godhead. God the Father. And John, in 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is who? Jesus. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Also, I believe it's a picture of complete salvation. You go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. I mean, can we not see how God just perfectly takes his word and says, this is Jesus. That's what he is. That's what the ark represents. And the window was put in the top of the ark. It wasn't put in the side of it. You know why, Patty? Because if it had been put in the side of it, they could have seen all the death and destruction that was floating out there. It was put in the top of it. And can I tell you something? It's because God wants us to look up. He wants us to look up. He doesn't want us to look out on this world of destruction and death and everything that's out there. He wants us to look up. I'm telling you here this morning, whenever the world starts coming against you and you see and you think, man, what is going on out there? Can I tell you something? Look to where cometh our salvation. It wasn't put there. Listen to that. In Psalms 121, 1 and 2, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And he said, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Luke 21, 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, it says, look up, lift up your heads, for what? Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. He doesn't want us looking out on the world. He doesn't want us looking out on death and destruction. He wants us looking to where our help comes from. Can I tell you this morning? That's where our help comes from. I say it again. It's not going to come from Donald Trump. It's not going to come from Kamala Harris. It's not going to come from being a Republican or a Democrat. It's going to come from looking up to the one from whence cometh our help. Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. That's the word of God. Look up. How about moving your spiritual window? I'm going to close. Get a song together, Julie, if you don't care. How about moving your spiritual window, your spiritual eyes from something that's out here in the world to looking up? I believe time's drawing close, Ron. I know people have been saying it for years, and Lord knows I may be dead and gone before he comes. But you know what? It's closer than what it was the day he died on that cross. It's still closer. It's still closer. Can I tell you that? The Bible says something about that. He said, there'll be mockers in the last day. They'll say, well, you've been saying this. I'm going to use my words. You've been saying this for years. He's coming. And where's he at? And the Bible says, don't fool yourself. He's going to come whenever you have no idea when he's coming. I'm telling you, move your spiritual eyes up. Move them up. God's still on the throne. Jesus is still sitting at his right hand. No matter how ugly this world gets, look up. And it's going to get ugly. And it's going to get ugly. Even you say even more than what it is now, yeah, it's going to get ugly. It'll wax worse and worse. I'm here to tell you this morning. Listen, we can get all kind of... I could go even on. I could talk about the pitch that they put inside and out. I could talk about... I better quit there. I'll keep you here till 1 o'clock. But I'm here to tell you this morning, can you not see Jesus in everything? Everything. If you want to see him, he's there. He's in the ark. Praise his name this morning. As they get a song this morning, if you have a need this morning, and I say this quite often, if you come to this altar, it doesn't always mean you need salvation. you may just need to come here and pray. But brothers and sisters, if you need salvation, today is the day of salvation. You know what? It'd be a beautiful day to come to know the Lord. Amen. I think it would be. Amen. All right, Julie, let's get it. Please stand.